Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Tony was on to say, ah, stop, Fran. That man has spoken more sense in the last few moments than I've heard on your show in ages. If you're not backing the Travellers, you're picking on anyone that has the balls to speak out, says Tony in full flight this morning. And another person, I'm intrigued at this one. It says, Fran is bringing up Travellers again. He ignores their cruelty to animals, antisocial behaviour, etc. But as Fran is a musician and many Travellers go to his shows, he knows where his bread is buttered. With all the news on social media, etc., about cruelty, he's never mentioned this on his show, to the best of my knowledge. Well, you mustn't listen very often, because we would have dealt with those issues time and time again on the show. But thank you for that. And as for Travellers going to my shows over there, I'm sure they have. But, you know, yeah. Anyway, Fran, if you're such an advocate for Travellers and refugees, would you like a halting site on one side of your house and a refugee centre on the other? I wouldn't mind in the least. They might have an issue with living beside me, but there you go. 1800 938 007. Emma joins me now. Emma, good morning to you.
Good morning, Fran.
And good to talk to you today. And thank you for coming on with us, Emma. Will you tell me your story? You're married to a Nigerian gentleman, isn't that right?
Yeah, we got married last year. We've been together now almost 3 years. And when he was here, he was working for all of 2019. He worked for 12 months in Dublin. And then he decided to move here to be with me. And from January 2020 until September 2020, he applied for over 200 jobs. And he got two interviews in the 9 months. And at that time, he had a work permit. Mm. And then in September, he was lucky enough to get a job. So he was working with a construction site, and now at the moment his permit has expired. So he has no permission to work, but his job is still there. So we're waiting at the moment now. He has an application for a stamp 4 visa, since we're married and everything. So it's just waiting for that to come through before he can get any permission to work.
He came here, I think, Emma, as an asylum seeker, is that right?
He did, yeah, yeah. And he was in an asylum hostel and he left there to come and live with me.
Right. And the fact that you're married, Emma, does that not guarantee him any more freedoms? Or he still has to look for work permits and the like, does he?
It doesn't guarantee him anything. But we have an application gone in for him to get residency here for, I think it's a 5-year residency.
Yes.
And once he gets that, he'll have a permission to work. But as it stands, he has no permission now. And the application can take 12 months and maybe even more.
So essentially, even though he has the offer of a job, he can't take that up for the foreseeable future.
It's not even the offer. He's been in this job. He's been working. And the permit just expired. So
right.
They can't take him back.
So he can't continue with that, that work. And again, this is one of the points made by some of the people yesterday to say, you know, why aren't asylum seekers working? Why, you know, but in some cases, this is the impediment to it, you know. Can you tell me a little bit about his past and why he came here in the first place, Emma?
Well, he came here because of, he was in a lot of danger in Nigeria. And he came here. It wasn't even easy for him to be coming here, you know. It's very hard even just to leave Nigeria. Mm. But, he has a lot of fear to go back, so...
And what has he experienced here? I mean, what has his experience of Irish people been?
He's had good experience with Irish people, but all he wants to do is work.
Yes.
And he's finding that hard now. And since, the start of this year now, he hasn't been working at all, and he's finding it very hard, you know, for money and just boredom. You know, it's not good for your peace of mind to not have anything to do. And when he's still young, he just wants to work. And now I'm pregnant. I'm 5.5 months pregnant.
So
we have no income.
Right, so you could do with him work. And has he any recourse to social welfare or anything like that?
No, because because he doesn't have anything to say he should be here for now.
Right.
And in his first year here in asylum, he had to wait to be granted the permit. So as he was waiting, he'd done a few courses, you know, to help him to get a better chance of working.
Yes.
So he'd done safe pass and food safety, manual handling, security. He's done a lot of different courses and gained a certificate. But it was still very hard for him just to even get the job.
Right. So, again, for anybody out there who was sort of critical yesterday, I mean, and saying that, you know, asylum seekers and refugees, or however we want to title people, that they benefit greatly from coming here and they're all immediately sort of wealthy and stuff, that certainly hasn't been your experience or your husband's experience.
No, definitely not, no. When he was here and he was in his asylum, I think it was €25 a week he was getting from social welfare.
Right.
As when he decided to leave his hostel and come and live with me, he wasn't entitled to that anymore. But he didn't mind that then because he started to work and he was paying his tax and everything when he had the permit.
Mm.
You know? But no, they definitely don't get a lot, you know?
And he was listening yesterday to the conversation, excuse me, and some of it got... certainly what I would describe as being racist, but maybe some people disagree with me on that. How did he feel when he heard that conversation?
He was angry when he heard what Paddy said about black people not wanting to work. Because we spent a lot of months here frustrated, sending CVs, going for job interviews, everything he could think of doing to try and get work. And nothing. And it was very, very frustrating then to hear Paddy say that they don't want to work. And to just target a group of people, when there's many people of all colours and nationalities and races that don't want to work, you know? It was very frustrating.
Mm. And when you're with him, Emma, can I ask, I mean, are there remarks made? Have you come across situations like that?
I haven't personally, no.
Right.
No, I have not. But I'm sure some people will experience this.
Right. And has he experienced it himself? I mean, has he had...
A little bit, yes. When he in the first year he was here, he was in Dublin. And he experienced a bit in Dublin now, yeah.
Mm.
Like a few people tell him go back to his country. And there was one girl threw water on him one day. He was walking on the street. But a few small things like that.
And is it better in Tipperary... you know, in terms of being accepted and being embraced, is that better in Tipperary?
He feels it is, because there's less people around more so. But a lot of people here aren't as used to black people, let's say, as they would be in Dublin, you know.
Yeah.
But he feels a bit better here.
Yeah. And what does he make of the culture here? And I mean, the obvious differences between, you know, how we go about our daily lives and what he might be used to. What does he make of that, Emma?
He finds it very strange now, the drinking culture here, how a lot of people drink so much and smoke so much, especially openly in front of their parents or their, like, older people. He finds that one very strange. And how a lot of people can live easily without working.
Right, on social welfare and...
like seeing people who... he doesn't understand how are they surviving if they're not working there. You know, he doesn't understand it like that.
Right, because obviously...
in their country, they have to work.
Right.
If you don't work,
there's nothing to keep people going. There's no social welfare that we would understand going on there.
No, no. So, they don't have social welfare or medical care or anything like that in Nigeria.
Right. Do you have worries about, you know, your baby that's coming and, you know?
Sure. Yeah. And it would be nice if he could just be working and earn money, you know.
Right.
And then we still have the fear that they could reject his application. But I'm hoping, because of us being married and the baby coming, I'm hoping it wouldn't be rejected.
If... it is rejected, and I don't want to put the... but if it is rejected, Emma, where would you be at that point then?
I don't even know. I haven't...
you don't
I
even want to contemplate that,
no.
I suppose.
No, we haven't given that much thought.
But is there a possibility that he could be deported? And
there is a possibility, yeah.
That must be a constant worry, is it?
It is. It is, and it's a big worry for him, and he's very religious.
But
he prays every morning, he prays. He prays that he'll never be sent back to Nigeria. Yes.
Yeah.
And
that must be heartbreaking for you, is it?
Yes. Yeah. He has nightmares sometimes here. He wakes up at 2 or 3 a.m. you know, with nightmares of being back in his country. And it's very difficult.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Is he in contact with any of his family back home? Or?
A little bit, but when they contact him, they want money. They want him to send money. They think he's abroad, like, you should be sending us something. So, and as he's not working, he doesn't have anything to give to them.
Right, but they think he's wealthy because he's outside
the country. Yeah. But they see once you've got a chance to leave your country, you have opportunities that they don't have in Nigeria.
Right. What does he think of how we're governed here?
Yeah, he thinks the government here is good. He sees that people, that the government take care of the people here very well. Right. It's very different from in Nigeria. In Nigeria, the government is just corrupt. They don't have any provisions for the people. So he thinks the government do very well here for people. Even people having a medical card, example. He was surprised with that one even. Because I know his own mum, she was sick in Nigeria. And before, they wouldn't even look at her until they had the money there to pay. You know, you have to have the money first, or they won't even... You could be dying on the side of the road and they won't treat you unless you have the money.
Unless you can pay.
Yeah.
And when you met Innocent, did you... Was it a big learning curve for you as well, Emma?
Yeah. Definitely. I didn't realise a lot of the hardships they have in their country until I got to know him. I didn't realise it at all.
And do you now take on a heart when you hear people being, you know, what, racist or being... Is that personally hurtful now to you as well?
It is. And because I can empathise with people who are leaving their countries. And I know it's not an easy thing for anyone to leave their country and to leave their family and everything that they know, to go to somewhere new where they know nobody. It's not an easy thing for anyone. And I can't imagine if I had to do that myself.
And did you ever have to work abroad? Or?
No.
Okay. So,
I've lived here all my life.
Yeah, and hopefully that will still be the case. When is the baby due, Emma?
August.
Well,
August,
listen,
yeah.
We wish you the very best, and I hope things work out for your husband as well.
Thanks very much.
And we were delighted that he made contact with us yesterday, so thank you for that.
And I'd like to just say thanks to Michael Lowry and Gareth Hearn, who've both been very helpful.
Right.
With trying to direct us in the right way and everything.
Right, you approached them for some help, did you?
Yeah, well... Michael Lowry has helped us with our application for the Danfor visa and even Innocent's passport to renew it.
Right.
And Gareth Ahern now is trying his best to see if we can get anything to help him to work at the moment.
Right.
So we're trying.
And again, was he surprised that you know, you'd have access to politicians and that they would wade in and try and help people out?
He said because in Nigeria, if you don't have money or you're not a high up person, the politicians won't want to know you at all.
Right.
They don't do anything for the people there.
So it's interesting to have that light, because we're all giving out about government, I suppose, and about politicians and stuff. But it's interesting to get that slant on it, that by comparison to some countries, I suppose, we're in a privileged position, Emma.
That's it, yeah. We don't appreciate what we have.
Yeah. Well, listen, my best to you, and good luck with your baby as well. And thanks for coming on with us, Emma.
Lovely. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye to you, Duff. Bye-bye now. And that's Emma with her story. What do you think about that? 1800-938-007. The text and WhatsApp 083-311-3311.
If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1800-938-007. Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.